Son of God. Oh, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for those near-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. With many crowns you reign, victorious, high and lifted up now. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, you are the treasure. Worthy, 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 worthy. Let's sing, thank you for the cross of you. Thank you for the cross. Are you thankful for that cross, friends? Thank you for the price you bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing. Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Oh, now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Yes, worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We cry you now with many crowns, you reign victorious, high lifted up. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, you are heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Yes, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Would you put your hands together and praise our Lord? He's so worthy. Amen. Brother Jeremy, could you turn the sound quite muffled up here? If you could maybe make an adjustment on that. Let's sing this song together. Amen. Power of your love. Amen. It's good to see each and every one of you. I know I've been out for a while, and I thank you for your prayers. Been down on my back. Just gets tough sometimes, but I appreciate your prayers. Doing much better, and it's good to see each and every one of you. I'm excited. I just want to lift him up today, give him the glory he deserves. That's what I long to do. That's what we were created to do. Amen. Let's sing it together. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed and renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you, that I found in you, Lord. And Lord, I've come to know as I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. And hold me close and let your love surround. Draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Oh Lord, unveil my eyes and let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love has you lived in me. My mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Oh, bring it out, church. Think about that, church. Yes, now I will. I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Hold me close now. That's how we
power of your love.
Amen. Let's lift him up this morning, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we just want to soar with our Lord Jesus to meet him in the air. Amen. Glory, glory. Sing this song with me. How great is our God, the splendor of a king, Brother Matt. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, oh, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, oh, sing with me. Yes, our God, oh, we'll see how great, how our God. Yes. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The bride and Christ are one, uniting time has come. Soon we're going home, soon we're going home. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, worthy of our praise. Oh, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing that again, name above all names. Yeah. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. My heart will see how great is our God, yes, and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Amen. Do you love him? Let's give him one more hand of praise. Amen. He's such an awesome God, isn't he? Amen. I'm so thankful that we can turn to him with all our needs, our troubles, our cares in this life, which are many. Amen. And we can just cast our burdens on him, knowing full well he can handle everything that we could offer. Amen. Let's take our special needs to the Lord in prayer. I have several prayer requests up here. One is from my wife, her stepmom, Margaret. Her sister passed this morning. And I'm sure that's very hard on her, and we're praying for her. So if you would remember her with us in your prayers, we would be grateful for that. Amen. This prayer request is from Brother Earl Munch. Please pray for my brother DJ, who had an an aneurysm.
Amen. So let's
remember his brother in prayer. That's a very serious condition, so we want to hold that special need before the Lord in prayer. Have a prayer request to please remember Brother and Sister Smith in prayer today. Always in our prayer, certainly the Smith family and the Drums as well. Certainly miss them. Please also pray for Sister Lydia Clayville. She is at home and not feeling well today. So let's remember Sister Lydia in prayer. Amen. Certainly want to remember our pastor and his travels. Amen. That God would bless him and he would be a blessing to others wherever he goes to minister. And God would bring him safely back to her. Is Brother Wellington in the house? Brother Wellington, would you come forward, brother, and take these needs to the Lord for us? Amen. Do you have unspoken prayer requests on your heart? Amen. God knows your need, friend.
Let us bow our heads and our hearts before the Almighty God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege that we have this morning. That, Lord, by your grace, we have forsaken all to be in this place, Lord. We are coming as we are because we know by revelation you are our porter. You are our creator. You are our framer, Lord God Almighty. Thus, we are coming humbly before you so that you will have your way in us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we have come with different situations and circumstances before you, Father. Because we know, Lord Jehovah God, before you all situations are addressed, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we've got some that, Lord, are burdened with sickness. Some have got financial situations. Lord God Almighty, we are all looking up to you, dear Heavenly Father. For you said if we come as heavy burdened as we are, you will lift up our burdens, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we have heard the requests that have been announced before your throne of mercy, Father. Your children are looking up to you, Lord God Almighty. They are asking, they are knocking, and they are seeking, knowing that our Jehovah will open the door and, Lord, will answer the situations and address our concerns, Father. May you touch those that are in need of healing, Lord God Almighty. As we have heard, Lord Father God, the testimony from our brother who was having that lower back pain, Lord. But Lord, by grace you touched him, Lord Father God, and is back in the house, Father. May you touch each and every one of us, Lord. We might have spiritual, Lord, illness. Lord, may you heal us, dear Heavenly Father. We commit this service into your holy hands, Lord. We have not gathered to see one another, Lord, but we have gathered to see you, Father. We've gathered to hear from you, Lord. With the voices that you gave us, Lord, we are singing the songs of praise, the songs of Zion. Lord, may you anoint our song leader, Lord, with the songs that we need to praise you with, Father. As we prepare for the preaching of the gospel, Lord God Almighty, we commit the preacher who you have anointed to stand before us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit overshadow him, Lord, this morning. That, Lord God Almighty, you work your way in us, Lord, through the preaching of the gospel, Father. We pray for services going forth in different parts of the world, Lord, where the bride is gathering, Lord. May you break the bread of life, Lord, oh God. Father God, be with us as we start, as we continue, Lord God Almighty, in your presence. Glory, praise, and honor be given unto you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your benefits, Lord, in everything. We thank you for who you are in our lives, Father. We adore you through Jesus Christ, our Messiah. May you glorify, may you be glorified forever. We pray, asking and believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats as we play this, sing this song, Brother Matt's playing. Brother Mitch, if you'd be ready for the song special, it's come to my attention you had one. Can come up after this song, amen.
Oh, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross in every victory. let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my head, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I placed my Christ alone, in Christ alone do I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed, for only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, oh, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone.
Amen. I hope that's your desire today and your heart's cry. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mitchell. Take it.
Bless you. I actually wasn't sure if I would be singing this morning, so just pray for me. I've never done this before, just had the thought on my mind lately of, you know, going through life and kind of making things more personal and just trying to figure out who God is to me. And then I heard this song come on, and it just really spoke to me, so I just wanted to share it with you because He's always on time.
I remember how You provided, how You held me through the night. I remember how you sustained me when you stepped in to save my life. If I knew then what I know now, I would be still and let you work it. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time, Jesus. When I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You were always on time. You are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time. I remember how you carried when I couldn't take a step. I remember how you loved me when I couldn't love myself. If I knew then what I know now, I would be still and let you work. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time, Jesus. When I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You were always on time. You are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time. Yes, you are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time, Jesus. I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You are always on time, Jesus. When I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You are always on time, Jesus. I was tossed in the water, but I never went under, 'cause you were always on time, Jesus. When I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You on time, you are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time, Jesus. I was tossed in the water, but I never went under, 'cause you are always on time. Oh, Jesus, when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me, 'cause you are always on time. You are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time. You are always, always, always on time. You are always, and you'll always be right on time.
thankful for a God who's never late. Amen. And be hard for a being that fills all space and time to ever be late. Man, think about that. Let's stand this morning. I'd like to take up our morning offering. And the deacons would make their way forward. Let's sing that song together as Brother Matt, which we're delighted to have with us today. We'll be speaking, and we'll just be excited to hear what the Lord has in store. Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless this service, Lord, that we're fixing to have. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless this offering. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song. What a wonderful name it is. Key of D, musicians.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't born heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever our God reigns, and yours is a kingdom. Is the name above all names, and death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin. And come on, ring it out, church. The heavens are roaring. Praise of your glory. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name.
powerful name it is.
Oh, can we sing it one more time? Raise those hands. Oh,
what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is.
Yes, Lord.
The name of Jesus Christ, my
Senior King. Oh,
what a powerful name it is.
But nothing can stand against.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Wonderful. Powerful. Amen. What a beautiful name. Don't you just love the name of Jesus? Amen. Don't you know that when you speak that name, things happen? Amen. When you speak that name, at the mention of that name, amen, not only do demons tremble, but believers bow down. Amen. To that name of Jesus. God bless you. Amen. It's such a privilege to be here with you. Amen. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to the book of Genesis chapter 19. Amen. Genesis chapter 19. We'll just go straight to the word this morning. Amen. Been just a little while since we were here. And so we're just so grateful to be here again with you. And certainly, amen, always counted a great privilege and a joy. Amen. To come here to, amen, to minister to you. Amen. Those that we know, God bless you, friends, and different ones. And so we just want to look at you for a moment. Amen. Everybody feel good today? Amen. How many love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Just want to say God bless you. Bring greetings from our church back home. My dad, Brother Jason, amen, there in Buford. And boy, it is, it's a stormy, rainy place back at home. They almost had to cancel service about 5:30 this morning. There were severe alerts. Seemed like it just rained every single day and about washed us away. So I'm glad to be in Hickory and there ain't no rain and we're able to have service. Amen. And so, you know, that's God is a God of contrast. How many know that? Amen. God is a God of contrast. Could be storming in one place, but sunny in another place. That about patterns our life. Could be going through a storm today and then next week. Like my dad always says, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or about to go into another trial. Amen. That's the life of a believer. How many identify with that? Say, yeah, I could see that. Amen. That explains a lot of my life. So, we just want to also, Brother Barry texted me to greet you today. Want to say thank you to him for having us. Amen. And this opportunity that we have to be here with you. Amen. We're just serving the Lord, continuing to press on and came through a lot of, as the song says, I so identify with the words to amazing grace through many tribulations, through many storms, through many tests. I've already come. How many has already came through a lot of them? And you got news, it was grace that led me through them, and that's why I'm here. And it will be grace that leads me on. Amen. It will be amazing grace. Amen. God's certainly faithful to his children, to his people. I know he's been faithful to you. And so we just want to go and look to the word this morning. I'm going to minister to you something today that I've only ever preached one time. And the Lord came upon my heart, didn't know. You know, you minister many things sometimes and you feel like it's just for here, just for one time, and then you move on. Other times, burdens linger. And so I preached this about a year. I actually looked. I couldn't believe it. It was 1 year ago today that I ministered this. I thought that was significant when the Lord started dealing with this burden upon my heart again. And so when God does that, you just trust him, hold him by the hand and say, lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. And so I spoke this just one time. And even when I the Lord gave me this inspiration probably 5 years ago. And if you if any minister would know, sometimes the way the Lord gives you a thought, you know, for me, at least a lot of times I'll just have a line, just a word, maybe just a title. And that's all I have. If you go into my Google Docs, you'll see probably 50 different documents that have nothing in them, just the title. And I'll just sit that there and leave it there and just wait for the Lord. And I had that sitting in my drive for about 4 years, this title, The Legacy of Lot. And it was just something that struck my heart through a situation in life. And I just sat it there and let it ruminate. And then the Lord struck my heart about a year ago and began to give me the inspiration to preach it. And so I've not spoke it since then. And then just knowing I was coming here, the Lord brought all this fresh again. And so how many believe the Lord is in control of all things? Amen. And I don't, Brother Barry didn't text me a list of all of your problems and issues and the secret intel of this family and that family. And he didn't do that. He just invited me to come, and that was it. Pastors don't do that. Thank God. I'd rather not know. But I know this. I know that the church that doesn't have problems, that isn't struggling, the prophet of God said in the Smyrna church age, doesn't have it. It isn't even a church of God. The church without problems. So now how many can have a little bit of boldness to say, yeah, we got problems. How many families will say, yeah, I've got issues. I'm facing battles. Put your angel wings down, your halos down for a minute. I'm a real, you mean I'm not preaching to theophanies today? You're real like me. You got issues and battles too. Okay, good. We can then have what the Bible calls the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Because it's foolish. God would take a man like me who's just like you, no different, and somehow use a gift he placed in my life, and then God could bring edification out of that. Amen. But we know that that's the plan of God, and we're thankful for it. Amen. So I want to minister to this today, and I just want to encourage you as we go through this. It sounds like a very gloomy title. Listen, it may just be here for a moment as we go through Lot. We're going to go through a storm, okay? We're going to go through some lightning, some rain, some thunder, and some heavy winds. But can you praise God in the storm? Because I promise I'll get this. The storm will end, and the sun will come back out again. So sometimes you got to bear through that and get through the storm before the sun. You know, that's how you appreciate the sun when it comes out, is after you go through a really hard, long storm and that sun shines through and you think, thank God, the sun's shining again. So we will get there, and the Lord being our help, we'll get there this morning. If you have your Bible, Genesis 19, I've had you turn there. We'll just read a few scriptures, and we'll have you be seated after we read this here. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. That's important. We know to us as message believers, that would be something very important, that time of even or evening time. There came two angels to Sodom, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go on your ways. They said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, the Bible doesn't do anything by accident. It's letting us know that the disease of Sodom had spread to everybody. It wasn't just the young people. It was also the old people. In fact, it was in every corner of the city. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. We know what that means there. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you. Notice this word, what he calls these people. I pray you, brethren. What was it that Lot had gotten to such a condition? Remember, Lot, as Brother Branham tells us, was just a backslidden believer. The New Testament tells us righteous Lot. He was just. He was justified. He was righteous. He was a believer. He loved the Lord. But he had became into such a spiritual sick condition that he's literally looking at the men of Sodom and calling them brethren. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. They said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with him. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, has thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked, notice that, unto his son-in-laws. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot and said, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his daughters, the Lord being merciful. Aren't you glad that mercy overrides our stupidity sometimes? Thank God mercy overrides. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, we're just your servants now. Lord, humbly I stand here before your children. Lord, this is your family. Lord, and I'm a part of it. God, now I pray that you would just come and have your way, Lord Jesus. You, Lord, who know all things, your word tells us that you search the heart. You try the reins of the spirit, Lord Jesus. And so you know us, Father, inward and outward, everything about us. None of us, Lord God, could hide from thee. So I pray as David prayed, Lord, and he said, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And I just raise my hands and say, let the word search me this morning, Lord. I'd invite anyone here just to raise their hand and say to the Lord now, search me, O God. Father, see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, and may your word just come and minister, Lord Jesus, to the needs of your people. We love you, Lord, Father, and we just ask you to come and teach us by your word, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to be very careful in portraying Lot as we only know so much about him, and the scripture only gives us so much detail. I'm thankful for prophetic insight into the life of Abraham and into the life of Lot. But I want to do justice to Lot's life, because we could look at him in some ways marginalize who he was and the story that the Bible tells us. But I believe there's so much we could learn and glean out from it. Lot was, we know, the son of Haran, the Tehran, the brother of Abraham, We know that his dad here was Abraham living in the land of Mesopotamia. And God gives Abraham a divine call and says, get up out of this land. Get up and leave everything that you've known, everything that you've become accustomed to. And we know that his father there, Haran, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that Haran, Abraham's father, was an ungodly man in the sense that he was a heathen. He didn't know Jehovah. He wasn't a Hebrew. And so Abraham was a heathen as well. He was Abram at that time, we know, and he didn't know the Lord. He didn't come from any kind of spiritual background or some kind of lineage that had been left behind him. But Isaiah actually says in chapter 26, I believe it is, that Abraham, who God rescued out of the pit. I love the words of that because we could spiritualize Abram into such a level to think, why did God choose Abram? And the Jews would love to tell you that it was because of his faith. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that at all. In fact, Abram was just like anybody else. He was just a man living in a sinful city, living in sin, living as a heathen. His father was an idol worshiper, but God, who was rich in mercy, reached down and rescued Abram out of the pit. Oh, brother, you say, why did God choose Abraham? Because God is God and God chooses who he will. I'm so glad to know it wasn't because of any good record of mine, but God chose me sovereignly before the foundation of the world. And that's why I'm a believer. A believer today, not because of anything I've done or you've said. I've done a lot of things wrong, but grace has overrode my mistakes and I find myself a believer here in the end time. It's incredible because Abram gives this call, get up and leave everything that you know, leave everything that you've ever known and leave this place. Leave everything that you've known, leave your family. In fact, the Bible makes it very specific. Leave your kindred. Now, it's amazing because Abram did not start out obedient. Do you realize that? He left in obedience to God immediately, but he took his kindred with him. And God had told him to leave everything behind. And in fact, you'll find that it was his father, Terah, who traveled with him that caused Abram most of the trouble because he wanted to leave and separate himself, but he didn't want to make a total separation. Are you here today? Listen to what God's prophet says. I love this so much. And he's talking about Abram. And this is in the God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. Abram was just an ordinary man. Wasn't something special. God never called him as far as we have any record until he was 75 years old. His wife, which was his half-sister, being 65 at the time, they had probably lived together since they were very young. She was barren, had no children. But God called for a complete separation. To separate himself from the rest of the world, from all of his people, from all of his kindred, there was a special thing for Abram to do. And when God expects you to do a special thing, he demands a complete separation to separate himself from the rest of the world, from all of his people, from all of his kindred. And listen to what Brother Branham says here. When God expects that, he demands a complete separation from any doubt. You've got to come to full obedience to obey what he says. God demands it. You can't do it no other way. And now he always sets an example. That was his example of a complete separation from all his family, all his kindred, and to walk a life separated to God. It's one thing to separate yourself from friends. It is a whole together different weight to separate yourself from family. And you imagine the burden that Abram was having to bear as God says, cut it off. Leave them behind. Get up from out this land. I've got a work for you to do. Leave everybody. Leave everything. Everything you've ever done. He's not a young man. He's 65 years old, 70. I'm not calling you old, but I'm just telling you how old Abram was. He was around 70, Brother Branham said, years old, and God, he had learned accustomed, got accustomed to his life, accustomed to the things around him. And now at this point, God is saying, sell it all, pack up the home, sell the house, get out, leave everything, and don't take anything with you. Oh, but Abram did. He took his father, took his nephew Lot. And we know that this is where the trouble comes because now Terah, we know the Bible tells us the story how that they get a little bit out of Mesopotamia. It's incredible because you notice that Abram leaves the land of Ur, which is in the land of Mesopotamia. Just if you look up that word Mesopotamia, this was the land between the rivers. That's actually what Mesopotamia means. You had out of Eden flowed three rivers, the Nile, the Tigris, and the Euphrates River. And we know that Mesopotamia was the land from between. Meso meaning between, Potamia meaning the rivers. And so Abram comes from a heathen land, from heathen culture, from idol worship, doesn't know God. And God calls him out of there to leave everything that he had ever known. But the trouble starts with his father. I'm just going to take a moment here, just for a moment, because I believe it's important. You know, a lot of times the trouble can come not from friends from the outside, not from work associates, but sometimes the greatest troubles that face us in our life are traits that we've received naturally and very honestly from fathers, from mothers, from family, things that come from our strains. I'm not preaching against any family, though a lot of families have a lot of strains. I've got them. You've got them. I've got tendencies in the Watkins family that I've got to fight against. Thank God you don't have to fight against them. But thank God I don't have to fight against your family traits or your family tendencies. Listen, friends, we all got them. Every single one of us have different things that have been passed down by father, by mother, and the prophet calls them the grab bag of life. You didn't sign up for them. You know, if you come from a family who's high tempered and you fly off the handle in anything and has a, you know, enough temper to fight a buzzsaw, as Brother Branham said, that could be a family trait that passes down to you honestly, and you didn't do anything. You didn't ask for it. You didn't sign up for it, but you got it quite honestly from your daddy. How many remember the story in Paradox? Brother Branham tells about the young man who was going to marry the girl and he doesn't make something right. It wasn't in his heart to ask for forgiveness. And Brother Branham, the mother and the father come to Brother Branham and say, we want to know what's wrong with our son. He's been baptized. He's a good boy. He loves the Lord, but he's just got this thing he can't ask. It was actually that he couldn't say he was sorry. How many know people like that? Can't say sorry. You know, can't ask for forgiveness. And sometimes their sorry is pretty sorry. And that was the boy's trouble. He couldn't ask for forgiveness. And they say, what's wrong with him? We want to know. What's wrong with the boy? What's wrong with him? He has this trouble with this brand new married. Now that something's came up and there's a great strain in there in the family. And notice, I want you to notice what a prophet does. He doesn't ever even discuss the boy at all. Though they came to talk about the boy, the prophet ends up talking about the father and the mother. And says, look at you. Your family talks to the woman are Germans, all of them very independent, irreverent towards religion. You know, he said, they just come there and sort of stare at you. Don't say anything. Good morning. How you doing today? And Brother Branham says, I've walked many morning. And there's the mother, your mother out there. And she's in the yard and say, good morning to you. He says, she just sit there and stare at me. Very intelligent woman. Brother Branham says, mighty fine morning today. Sit there and stare. You know, like a lot of people when you're preaching sometimes, no matter what you say, man, they just stare at you. And Brother Branham says, notice it was that strain in that family, very independent, German, nothing against the Germans. Brother Branham says, but there's a strain in that family. Then he goes, and look at you, Dad. Your family are fighters. He says, they, you know, all of them, you know, are always arguing all the time, fighters, bootleggers. Brother Branham's talking about his own family is who he's actually referring to. This was his nephew. And he says, you know, Branhams die with their boots on. That's how Branhams die. They die with their boots on. And he's talking about his own strain in his own family and saying, look at you, Dad. He said, all of them fighters and enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. Then he stops and he says, but notice what's happened. You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he points to the woman. He says, out of all your sisters, you're not like that. And he points to the father and says, out of all of you, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're not like that. And he says, what does that mean? It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ living through you. So I just want to say this. The mystery of the boy laid within the mother and father. And so Abram's, a lot of his strain, the strains that he's dealing with come naturally from his father. You can pass that on down through as he lies to the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. They get in trouble. There's a famine. He goes to Egypt and he tells them, hey, here's the problem. You're 70, but you're beautiful. You're gorgeous. The king is going to fall in love with you and he's going to try to kill me. And he says, so tell them you're my sister. You know, this is literally Abram, the man of faith, the model of faith. The Bible calls him in Hebrews 11, the father of our faith. And he's literally telling the king, he's telling his wife, listen, we've got to come up with this plan. You're going to tell him you're my sister, but that's okay. You know, he's literally giving his wife to this man to save his own skin. Go read your Bible. I'm not making that up. Don't look at me funny. That's in your Bible. Abram was ready just to give Sarai up because he feared for his own life. And he literally is going to tell her, it's okay. You know, I know you imagine this. You're this man. I know he's going to treat you wrong and he's going to do things. But we got to save me. We got to save number one here. And so it will be, the Bible says it this way. So it will be well with me. Tell him you're my sister. Could you imagine? Buddy, could you imagine if your wife found out you had done that? I'll tell you what, she'd tell you, buddy, you don't need to be scared of the king. You need to be scared of me. You're going to give me up like that? That's all I mean to you? You're going to give me up like that to save your own skin? Had Abram, but he wasn't. You say, where did it come from, brother? It was just a trait passed down to him naturally. And had God never gave him a name change, he would have continued that legacy that had been passed down from idolatry from one generation to the next generation. At about midnight, God taps on the door and tells that king, I love how straightforward God is, you're a dead man, king. And so what God rescues Abram out of that situation. You think, well, that happened once. No, go read your Bible. It happened a second time. And Abram's still repeating the same exact pattern in his life. And go read your Bible. Follow, you say, well, that was Abram. Go look at Isaac. Isaac, his own son, does the very same thing. What was it? The legacy that he was leaving, the imprint of his life that he was leaving, would become a generational, we know this, we've preached on it many times, it would become a strain in that family. And there's something so amazing, I just want to say this here for a moment, it's so amazing because there's something about iniquity, there's something about sin, that if you allow it a certain place in your life, it can literally become a seed that is planted in a home, in a father, in a mother, and it will curse that family for years. And children face that, and daughters face that, and they didn't sign up for it, they didn't ask for it, it was just part of their nature. Brother Branham says, what does that? He's talking to the mother and the father. I love it because he's preaching a sermon called Paradox. What is a paradox? It is something that shouldn't be, couldn't be, wouldn't be, but somehow it is. Oh, my brother, any son or daughter of God that's born by a sex birth, the prophet says, and you're intermingled between fathers and uncles and aunts and cousins and all of those things that come in your genealogy of your blood, and had it been up to the devil, you would have died a sinner, you would have died an alcoholic, you would have died a drug addict. Oh, but grace intervened in your life, and you sit here as a paradox to the rest of the world. It is a paradox that I'm a believer. How many feel that way today? It is a paradox. I've got a love for God in my heart. I believe the message of the hour. Brother, it ain't got nothing to do with you. It ain't got nothing to do with your good works. It is grace by the blood of Jesus that has rewritten the genes of my family. And the prophet of God sitting there one day on a riverbank, and here he is, a little 9-year-old boy, 8 years old, and Brother Branham starts to talk about his life. He says, you know, I realized no one ever loved me. I was picked on in school. I was made fun of. I was a little bit odd of a kid. And he said, everybody, you know, didn't like me. He said, my mother, my father, you know, just were drunks and alcoholics. I love how Brother Branham says, he says, no one ever loved me until I met Jesus. And he said, and I found somebody who really loved me. And Brother Branham there is 9 years old, 10, he says, there in the summertime, he said, I'd come home, and he said, there would be music playing, and I could hear the party happening at for my mother and my father. He said, I didn't want to be around that. I'd go up on an old tin roof there and lay down. You know, he says, sometimes till 2 and 3 in the morning. Could you imagine a 9-year-old little boy? And from 2 and 3 in the morning, he's laying there not wanting to go home because of the sin that has taken place at his parents' house. And Brother Branham says, there I was, just a little boy, didn't have a chance, never stood a chance, hopeless, didn't have a family that loved God, didn't take him to church. And Brother Branham says, there I was sitting there. And he says, I was there at the riverbank with my dog. And he says, there was, you know, he says, there was the snow. And he said, I was cold. I wanted to go home. He said, I was sitting there shivering with my, just my dog laying there. He said, I started, music kept going. Party was still going, 2 and 3 in the morning. He said, so I built me a little fire right on the riverbank with my dog. And he said, and I sat there and got warm by that fire. And he said, it was just the next year. Here it was now summer, springtime. And he says, I was coming home another night and there was the music again. There was the laughter. There was the drunk alcohol. There was all of the sin, all the party. And he says, I sat there. Now it was summer. It's not winter. And he says, I sat there again. I'm just fishing there at that same spot. He says, I looked down below me and there was a little flower. How many remember Brother Barron telling this? I love this so much. He says, that little flower came up right between, he says, looking there, right between his legs. And he says, hey, hold on a minute. How'd you get there? Little flower. He starts talking to this little flower. And he says, how'd you get there? And he says, I look, and this was the, it was at the burn spot where I had lit the fire from the year before. And he said, just charred blackness of ground that nothing should have been alive there. Nothing should have been living there. He says, but that little flower somehow was standing up with his arms praising God like this. And Brother Brandon says, how'd you get that way, little flower? He says, the snow should have killed you all. The frost should have destroyed your chances. And worse than that, I built a fire over top of you and charred the very ground. And there's it's impossible against all odds. You're somehow here today. And the prophet said, I suddenly realized that little flower was me. And Satan had put everything in my life to try to knock me out and take me out and run me out. But somehow I'm here today. Somehow I love God against all odds. Oh, my preaching to believers today. Against all odds, I'm here today, standing as a believer. Though many have walked away, I've got a faith in my heart to serve God, to continue the battle for the army of the Lord. Brother Branham says, suddenly I heard a voice, and it said, you are not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Oh, what was it? That was his earthly legacy, but he was becoming connected to his theophany. Who he really was in the mind of God was not a Branham. And had he never changed that legacy, he would have died a Branham. He would have been a Branham. But I'm so glad God rewrote his life. Amen. Oh, how many are here today that could say God has rewrote my whole life story? He comes to this place and he's got to leave. Now, God says, leave it all, Abraham. I know it's hard, but leave Terran. Settles down, I think it was there in the city of Haran. And they're there for 15 years. Could you imagine? God told him to leave, but now he's got a delay in his life. All because of a father. Finally, his father, the Bible tells us, passes away. And Abraham, no doubt, is there crying. He's upset over it, as any man would be, to lose your natural father like that. But God says, Abram, you can't stay here. I know you want to stay here in sorrow, but you got to move on from here. There's more for you to do, Abram. You've got to go past this point of sorrow. Many people get stuck in sorrow, and there's a time for sorrow. There's a time to cry. There's a time to weep. But you've got to move on past that. You'll get stuck in Haran, and God wants to get to, well, God wants to bring you to his promise for your life. And now he comes to this place. We know the story very well with Lot, who's the son of Haran, the brother of Abraham. And Haran dies. Lot comes under the care of his uncle. And here's Abraham. Brother Branham says he's a nephew. Lot is his nephew, and God calls him to leave everything. And so Lot's life, it's so amazing, because Lot's life begins under the shadow of one of the greatest men that the Bible ever records, that we refer to as Abraham the father, Hebrews says, of our faith. By faith, Abraham. And he lives under the shadows, and because of his association with Abraham, he shares in those blessings that came from walking with God as Abraham did. He goes with Abraham into Egypt during the famine, and his own flocks and herds and possessions, the Bible says, grew so large that the land couldn't sustain both of them anymore. And so we know the story that strife somehow breaks out between the families. And Abraham graciously gives Lot the first choice of where to live. And he says, you know, I'm gonna choose to be a peacemaker. You know, thank God for peacemakers. We need more of them. And I tell you what, there's always a peacemaker in every family. And Abraham was the trait. You know, I tell you what, that's a trait of. It's a trait of the Holy Spirit in your life. I said that's a trait of the Holy Spirit in your life. To be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. And Abraham says, I want to make peace. I could argue. We could go to court. We could sue each other. You know, like families do. It's incredible to me sometimes. I won't even preach on that. Let me move on. But it's amazing to me the quarrels and squabbles that can come in a family. That Abraham says, I'm not gonna quarrel. We're not gonna squabble. I'm just gonna be a peacemaker. I'm gonna choose to make peace and not strife. And so I want you to pick it, Abram. Pick it, Lot. I want to give you the first choice. The Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plain of Jordan. This is well-watered. This would have been, you know, pretty tempting for any of us. Desert life versus garden life. Well-watered life versus desert life. And so the prophet says that Lot opened his eyes and he looked and seen the well-watered plains. And the Brother Branham says, I love how the prophet of God says this. I don't have a lot of this on the screen, but that's okay. He talks about how that Abraham, he says that Lot looked over there and seen those well-watered plains. And he says, but he never seen the defilement and the destruction that would come to his own family. He was so focused on the here and now. He was so focused on temporary joy. He was so focused on just relief. Get out of this desert. Get out of the dust. This is where God had called Abram. He didn't call him down into Sodom. He didn't call him to be a citizen of that city. But he called Abram to pitch his tent the other direction. But Lot, wanting so bad to get out of the dust, the dusty, you know, a hard, dry desert plain, it was enticing to him. It was enticing to Abram. I just want to take just a moment here, I'm just slowing down on purpose. He sees those plains and the prophet of God said, but he never seen the chaos that would ensue from that temporary satisfaction, that temporary relief. Peter describes in 2 Peter chapter 2, you don't have to turn. The apostle Peter describes Lot as a righteous man. Now think about that, righteous. I know we've thought of Lot as, you know, just backslidden and all these other kind of things, but he was actually righteous. This is what the scripture says in 2 Peter. It calls him righteous. Yet Lot lived in a place he never should have been. He lives in Sodom, a wicked city. Most of us today think of Sodom when we hear that word. We think of some type of a modern day wicked city. San Francisco, you could say, let me just be honest, friends. I'll just go ahead and say it. That's from a long time ago. I'll tell you what, it's about every city now in America. It's here, right here in the South. It's right here where you live. It's not off just in the metropolitan areas. But now it's spread. Sin has spread from sea to sea like a tidal wave. And it's in government, it's in churches, it's in education, it's all across the board. And we think of Sodom as some, you know, city filled with, you know, homosexuals, or like you would think of like New York City with greed and violence and all kinds of things, as that would be a type, or, you know, some devilish kind of thing. But can I just say that the truth of where you can find Sodom, you need look no further than your own heart.
Because truly where the root or the seed of this wickedness lays, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who could know it? And so God calls Lot righteous. He calls him righteous Lot. Brother Branham even said that about him. I was trying to find a quote I wanted to read, and I just can't find it here, and that's okay. We'll just skip it here for now. But he calls him a backslidden believer. A backslidden believer. And he comes to this place, and God, as we said, tells him to get out. He comes even there, you know, but he became entrenched. I just want you to advance that first slide if you could, because I want to look at this word legacy. This is incredible, because we often think of, I'm preaching to you on the legacy of Lot, but this is what legacy really means. It's portrayed as the impact and the inheritance one leaves behind. Now, don't think of the worldly word legacy, because actually legacy is not even in the Bible. And there's a lot of denominational churches that preach on the legacy you leave behind. And a lot of times, I'm not preaching against that, but a lot of times what they refer to as legacy is some kind of earthly possession. Or we would think of riches or some estate. Or something that we leave behind to the next generation. But can I say that the Bible doesn't use the word legacy? It leaves the word inheritance. And there's a very big difference. Can I preach to you just here for a moment? There's a very big difference between a legacy and an inheritance. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So you could think of legacy in things of terms of substantive, but can I just say a true inheritance, which is a true legacy left behind by a believer, is actually not something substantive, but it's the non-substantive things that we leave behind that we call the influence. Now, Brother Branham tells us that. He says, no matter who you are, you're leaving behind an influence. Your life will outlive what you live. There will be things that outlive you. And there will be an impact. We talked about it here just for a moment, that you can take the cycles and strains of families that pass from one generation to the next generation. But can I just say, if we believe that, then we must also believe that if bad things could be a strain that is left behind, how about promises of faith that I could leave to my children and have an impact? Listen, friends, if I could sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind, then I could sow the good seed of faith and reap a crop in my grandchildren, in my children's children. If I can pass down bad things, how about I can pass down some faith onto the next generation, some hope, some love, some encouragement, some wisdom. Amen. That's truly leaving behind an impact or an inheritance to the next generation. And so you can say this as an inheritance is something you leave behind for your family. It's an impact, not just an inheritance in monetary way, but it's an impact of something. It could be what you teach them, something so simple as the teaching we give to our children. Lay not up, this is Matthew, I know you know the scripture very well, verse chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I wonder if Abram, when you could take this entire picture of Lot, as Abram doesn't even realize this. He doesn't realize that the choices that he makes, the small ones, are leaving behind an impact that will last generations, thousands of years. And here's Lot, who Brother Branham says he's a believer. He's just a backslidden believer. You know, he has the right associations. He has Abram, and he's associated with Abram as his uncle. You know, he looks the part. He talks the part. He has all of the layers of a believer. Can I just preach here just for a moment? He has all the right cliches. He has the right dress code. He knows the right sayings. He knows just what to say. He's associated with the right people. And man, if you just look at him, he looks just like Abraham. Doesn't look any different. You know, just looks like a true believer. It's so amazing to me because I've seen this in families. I'm preaching from a real living example. And you just, let me just unburden my heart here just for a moment. But it's amazing because you take how the scripture talks about, you know, the scripture in Judges chapter 1. And it talks about how that God, the children of Israel sinned and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers and they served other gods. And then God says, but nevertheless, God raised them up judges, right? How many remember that? And those judges were saviors. They would save the people from their oppressor. Samson was one. Obed was one. Deborah was one. Barak was one. You could take Gideon. He was one. These were all judges. Othniel, all the scriptures there, if you want to take the time. They were powerful men that God did many powerful things through. But I want you to notice that God would deliver them through the judge. But the Bible says something so amazing, if you've ever called it. The scripture says, and the people served the Lord all the days of the judge. Notice that. The people served the Lord all the days of the judge, right? And it says, nevertheless, when the judge died, the people went back to their debauchery, back to their idolatry, back to their sin, and they became in a worse condition than before the time of the judge. How many Bible readers do we have here today? And they would go worse and worse because it's always the cycle of sin where we go from sin to slavery, bondage, and then we repent, and then God sends a deliverer. And when that deliverer's alive, we serve the Lord. We love the Lord. We're in the message. We love God. We love God's people. But when that judge dies, we go right back to sin, then to slavery, then to bondage. And you can watch that pattern in the book of Judges, that as long as the judge lived, the people served God. You know, if you ever want to know what a person is truly anchored to, it can only be revealed when that anchor is removed from their life. It'll tell you what they were really anchored to. You see, I've watched people that have been anchored to a father, a mother, a grandfather, a preacher who stood for the word of God. And man, as long as that grandpa was preaching the message, they sat in church. Their children looked like believers. Their wife looks like a believer. The husband looks like a believer. They paid their tithes. They shook your hand. God bless you. As long as that man was alive, that judge was alive. The problem was is that they were never anchored to the word, which is Christ. They were anchored to a testimony from a father or a mother or a Sunday school teacher. It's sort of like a boat's anchor. I've been many times on the Buford River, and we drop our anchor, and you wait for a moment as you drift and drift and we're drift with the tide, and then suddenly the anchor grabs, and your boat stops, and you notice the water's going on. You can say, how do you know? You know, you're not moving. You have to find some fixed object on the land and look at it and go, okay, that's not moving, so I'm not moving. But you know what happens sometimes is occasionally that anchor didn't grab something solid. It maybe grabbed some kind of other thing that had sunk down to the bottom, and then suddenly it comes loose, and you don't realize it, but you're drifting down with the tide. And because your anchor has been pulled up, and how many times I've watched this happen with families, that as long as the pillar of the family is standing for the truth, then the rest of the family is standing for the truth. But if they're only ever anchored to the judge, then when the judge dies, when he leaves the message, when he loses faith in the message, when he passes away, maybe as a believer, oh, for a little while, they look good. But before you know it, they're drifting, and they're drifting, and they're drifting. And before you know it, you're in the weeds and the marsh grass with the oysters. I was in New Zealand last year, this year. I was there at the beginning of this year. We went down to the Milford Sound and just a beautiful place. And there we took a really nice tour there and was on a bus with a lot of people. And you can see out as your 4-hour drive, and I'm watching and seeing these gorgeous mountains, just beautiful grandeur like nothing I've ever seen before in my whole life. And the bus driver is just, you know, speaking there, pointing things out about the scenery and about this landscape and where we were. And he points and he says, look over here to your right. And he says, you'll see a mountain. And he says, that mountain has something that we call a mountain scar. And he says, that scar that you notice, and you could see it from the mountain, you had all of these trees that were on the side of this mountain, but down from the top, it almost looked like where they had cut a power line, but it wasn't perfectly straight. It sort of went like this, and it went all the way down, trees up to it. But he says, you notice, he says, you know where that comes from? He says, now what's amazing is you look at the trees. And he says, and you think they're just beautiful trees, they're anchored to the, you know, to the mountain. He says, but actually, if you got out of this bus and you went up there, that entire mountain, he says, actually, those trees are being held by the roots that are attached to the solid bedrock of the mountain. He says, you see, what can anchor a tree? A tree can never stand on a deep descent decline like that. And he says, but if the tree can ever become anchored to the rock that is in the mountain. Oh, I almost started shouting in that bus. If the tree can ever get a root and catch a hold of the solid rock, it will hold it through all of the storms, through all of the wind, through all of the landslides. And he says, it'll last through anything. Those trees have been here for years and years, and they've withstood everything. Amen. And he says, but notice this mountain scar. And he says, that happens because some trees, he said, you don't realize it, but there are some trees that actually their roots have never grabbed a hold of to the mountain rock. And he says they're actually intertwined with their hands to the other trees. And he says those other trees are actually holding up their experience. And he says it looks the same. They look, when you look at them before the scar happens, it looks beautiful, it looks perfect. And he says, but with winds and with rains and with floods, that's what reveals. Jesus says, if you build your house upon the sand, you're a foolish man, because it will stand in the great times and the good times and the seasons of life. But when the rain comes, when the wind comes, when the flood comes, it will prove every man's work. And he says, and what happens to those trees? And he says, as they've held on and held on and held on to the other trees that are anchored. And he says, those trees are called anchor trees. And he says, but after a while, after enough wind and enough rain, they can't hold on anymore. And he says, they let go. And he says, when they let go, they take tree after tree after tree after tree after tree. And the one tree that fell caused thousands of trees. I sat there in that bus and just wept. I thought, Lord, how many times we've had people that have been, their experience has just been based on another man or another sermon or another church. And as long as that church is doing good, man, they're on fire. They love the Lord. But the minute that that anchor falls, what happens? Their experience, because it was never rooted to the rock. Oh, brother, can you preach with me this morning? It was never rooted to the rock. And because they were never rooted to the right thing, they fall. And oh, how great the fall is. And they can stand for a season. But after a while, they lose their grip. They can't hold on anymore. And they lose their grip. And he says, you can notice that scar, it will be there forever. And he says, nothing will ever grow, but nothing could ever grow there, because there was nothing to be anchored to there. And the only life that they had was life living, held from other people's experience. It's amazing, because I wonder if this wasn't the case with Lot. He was living under the influence of his uncle. And he was living under the blessings of his uncle. Are you okay this morning? And he looked good. He looked like a believer. He talked the part. But when you peeled back all the layers of Lot, listen, friends, sometimes it's not what you can see that's causing the problem. It's what you can't see. Hello, somebody. Many times it's not what you see that's causing the problem. It's what you can't see. It's what's underneath. It's what they're feeding upon. And they feed upon it and feed upon it and feed upon it. And what you couldn't see is he looks, the Bible calls him righteous. He looks good. But Lot had a deep spiritual problem because behind all of those layers, there was an unseen cord to Sodom that he could not break. And the Bible says that the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. But he didn't have, Brother Branham says, the spunk. The plain downright gumption to speak against it. Could you imagine? It vexed him. It bothered him. But he didn't have the heart to speak the truth. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says speak the truth in love. Hello? You could speak the truth and not have love. And it doesn't set anybody free. But you can also have love and choose not to speak the truth, and it doesn't set anybody free. Listen, friends, truth is spoken with love, and when truth is spoken with love, it breaks the power of the enemy. But you've got to speak the truth. And Lot had an unseen cord. It was bound on him. It had a hold on his heart. He couldn't break loose. Despite all the decay of his soul, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, for that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. He got to such a place to where Brother Branham says, he didn't have the backbone to speak out against it. Listen what he says here. I would be remiss to not read these as the Lord gave them to me just even before I came out. In Time Tested Memorial, he talks about Lot's wife. Because remember, it was Jesus in Luke 17 when the Bible says that so shall it be as it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Brother Branham says, what was that a type of when those two angels went down to Sodom? And he says, at the same time that Lot was receiving the Melchizedek sign through the ministry of the Son of Man, Sodom was also receiving her sign through two angel messengers who had the power to blind them. Now listen to what Brother Branham says. And he says, those messengers, those angels, were a type of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. How many knows that's what the prophet taught us? And he says, that messenger that came to Abraham was the sign of the Word made flesh, the Son of Man. That's why a prophet stood behind a platform with his back to the audience and said, I'll tell you without even looking at you what your name is. It was showing us that the days of Luke had returned back to the church again, and the Son of Man, the ministry of Christ, the Word made flesh, was back in the church again. And at the same time, there's an angel to Sodom. And there's an angel by the name of, now remember Brother Branham says, the seventh messenger. He says, notice he's the seventh angel, not an angel in the sense of an angelic being, but the word angel means messenger. He was the seventh church age messenger that came with the light of the S-O-N. And he says, but notice what those other messengers, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, came with. And he says, they had a light also, but it was only a light to blind the people. What was Graham's message? It was a message of repentance. It was a message of justification. But he didn't have any message to fill the people up with the power of transformation in their lives. And so people would come to an altar, accept Christ, pray a prayer, pray a sinner's prayer. And he says, but he never had a message to fill them up again. And Jesus says, when an unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he goes into dry places, finding rest. And when he findeth none, he comes back to the house and he finds it swept, he finds it clean, but there's no man in the house. So he goes and brings seven other spirits. Are you here today? With him. And he says, the man's condition is worse than when he first believed. Listen, friends, can I just say this here today? We ought not to just preach what you can't do, what you don't do. Stop wearing this. Stop putting on makeup. Stop cutting your hair. Those are all fine and good, but you got to have a message not just to clean you out. You've got to have a message to fill you up again, to fill you with the joy of the Lord, to fill you with the Spirit of God. This message ain't no dress code or book of rules of do this and don't do that. It is the very life, the literal life of Jesus coming back to the worshiper. It's not about what we don't do. It's about what we do. We're believers. And he said Graham's message could only bring them to repentance, but it could never fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says it was a blinding light. I was hearing Brother Branham say that you could go and listen to the message. There's a man here who could turn on the lights. And the prophet of God says, what was it? It was a false light. The greatest robbery that ever happened on a train, Brother Branham says, was by false light, smoke and mirrors. And he says, and the greatest robbery that's ever came to the church was happened by a false light of just repent, just believe. That's all you have to do is just believe. Friends, I'm afraid it's the same way. Can I just preach here for a moment? We ain't no different. If that's all we do is preach to our people, all you got to do is believe God sent a prophet, and all you got to do is accept the message for your day. Listen, friends, the devil, don't you know the devil believes in a seventh angel messenger? It's more than just believing or accepting. It's about that person of the message coming into your soul. And Brother Branham says the greatest light, the greatest robbery to the church was by a false light. You say, what is a false light? It's Brother Branham says it's living on the glare of a previous age. And so notice this. This is amazing. Because here was Billy Graham typed as an angel going to Sodom. And here was Oral Roberts typed as an angel to come out. Now, it's amazing. I was talking to my son Gideon. And I said, we were just talking about these kind of things. And I said, it's amazing, Gideon. I said, because I was just looking the other day that here's Billy Graham, who Brother Branham types and chose the name H-A-M. And we know it was the number of man, the sign of man, the anointed of man. But there was to come an eagle anointing that would take us from a lion and ox, and it was take us from the man anointing, which was what the reformers were under, to an eagle anointing. And I said, notice that Brother Branham types them as an angel ministry, that this was an angelic ministry that came to it. I'm not preaching against Billy Graham. Listen, Billy Graham, I believe, was a Christian man, was a true believer. But he could only take the people as far as he could take them. And Brother Branham said it was actually a type of that blinding light. And that's what you have millions of churches and billions of denominations, that they're the product of that false light. And that's why they don't preach on the Holy Ghost. That's why they don't preach against the... I'm not even going to preach on that here today. I'll lose my... Siri will tell me my time's up and I won't get to my point. But notice, this is so amazing, is that I said, Gideon, it's incredible, because Brother Adam calls him... This was the angel to Lot. And I said, now, what's incredible is go look up Billy Graham's legacy. He has a daughter. Guess what her name is? Ann Graham. And she married a man with the last name Lotz. L-O-T-Z. Ann Graham Lotz. And she's actually a preacher. This is Graham's daughter. She's actually, listen, friends, I'm just going to tell you how I believe. I don't believe that's any accident whatsoever. That her last name would literally be Lotz. L-O-T-Z. What's the chances? How many of you know a Lotz? And you go to her website, and her website is called Angel Ministries, the Ministry of Lotz, the Ministry of Ann Graham Lotz. And here was this angel that comes to Lot. Get out, get up. What was he thinking there? Go to the next slide. What was in him? Can we just say that here for a moment? Despite all of this, if you could advance it, brother. Despite all of this, there was a spiritual problem, a deep spiritual problem, and he couldn't break loose from it. Lot knew better than to remain in Sodom. Can you go to the next slide if it works? If you can, good. If not, no worries. I don't need it. I just wanted to show this just here for a moment. He couldn't break loose from it. He knew better than to be in Sodom. The Bible says, blessed is the man that... that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth or standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Lot should have decided, that's it. I got to get out of here. I can't stay here any longer. The iniquity of Sodom will lay a hold of me. And Brother Branham says, even Lot's wife started out right. She started, this is the words of a prophet, she started as an overcomer. But he settles down, he sees the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he decides, that's where I'll live. That's where I'll dwell. No doubt he started with good intentions. I'll just be a good citizen, show Christ to the people, shine my light. But eventually, he doesn't realize it, that darkness is going to so press in on his family, and he begins to get a social status. He becomes a mayor of the city. And now he's got prestige. Now he's got a reputation. Now he's got associates and friends who, if he really told them what he really believed, they'd think he was a weirdo. So we keep that stuff, you know. We don't talk about that. Don't share those kind of things. You know what you've done? You've tangled yourself up and put yourself at such a disadvantage. Because that separation from all unbelief, now you got associates, work friends, school friends. And Lot, he gets to a place he's so tangled up with. And Brother Brandon says of Miss Lot, he says, Miss Lot, she became very worldly, taken up with the things of the world. This has so struck me when Brother Brandon says this. He says, Miss Lot, she didn't mean to do that. She went down there, she thought, I'll just be sociable. And it's all right to be sociable. She didn't mean to. I wonder if Lot, when he seen those well-watered plains, if he knew what it would cost him. Did he know what it would cost him when he separated himself and he lived, instead of pitching his tent away from Sodom, he pitches it towards Sodom. Which shows where his heart is. It shows where his treasure is. And he separates. Did he realize when he walked away from Abraham, when he walked away from Abraham, he was walking away from the angel, the messenger who had came to Abraham. And he, Brother Branham says, he never meant to do that. When God gave her her last message of grace and he sent those angels down there and told them within a few hours Sodom and Gomorrah would be burned up, yet she could not stand the thought of giving up her social life to come out to a desert, to live like Sarah had lived out there in the desert, to have to wear common, plain clothes of a woman of the plain. She wanted to be in luxury. Her husband had become a great man in the city, sat in the gate as a judge or a mayor. She wanted these luxuries. She couldn't stand the thought of having to give those things up. And she went with her husband out of the city. She kept, when she leaves the city, the Bible says she kept looking back. The angel had told her, don't look back. And she starts looking back. Brother Branham says she was weeping and grieving because she had to give it up to separate herself from that type of death. She turned to a pillar of salt, and there she stands today. Jesus in Luke 17 says, so shall it be. And then he comes and he says, remember Lot's wife. It can be seen in the field, the woman standing there. Notice how he says this. With her head turned, looking back. And she's looking back over her left shoulder to look back. Why was it her left shoulder? Because her heart was back there. And she was forced to leave. Oh, what a difference it is when you force someone to leave and when they want to leave. That's most of the problem we have in the message with people leaving the message today. It's because their body came back, but their heart never. Their body was turned, but their heart was never turned. Listen, friends, God sent us a message to turn the heart back. And when the heart turns back, the body will follow. You can force the body, but if the heart never turns, it will eventually go to where the heart is. Right. Many people walk away with their heart long before they ever leave your church. Their heart leaves. She was forced to leave. And when many people take Christ that way because they come out from the world, feel like they're forced to do it, and they keep longing and lusting, it isn't long till they're back anyway. And they're horrible memorials of God's grace, love is shown. I imagine Lot would have never dreamt that his wife would be turned to a pillar of salt. That now his daughters, because their husbands are dead, concoct a plan, an evil plan, to lay with their own father incestually and have children to spare their own lineage. And then he has one, Ammon, another son, Lot, through his daughters, Moab. And then you have the Moabite people who were the enemy of Israel. It was the greatest enemy they had was Ammon, Amnon and Moab. Did he ever calculate that when he walked away from Abraham, this is the product he would get? This was his legacy. I think about Brother John Osteen, who sat in Brother Branham's meetings, was part of the Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast. He was a Christian man all the way till 1999 when he passed away in 96. And his wife was even healed of breast cancer or liver cancer of the liver. Supernaturally, he was a man who believed in the supernatural power of God. He was a man who believed in a separated life. He was a man who stood with those assemblies of God, people who had came out of the assemblies of God, with Brother Demas Shakarian. And he's there. You hear Brother Branham mention him and call John Osteen out on tape. But there was a point in that ministry when the true ministry of Brother Branham was not the healing of the sick. The true ministry of the message was not the divine miracles. Many people receive the miracles. Listen, friends, people love miracles. Everybody loves miracles. But the vindication was not the dead. It was not the blind eyes. The vindication of his ministry was in Sabino Canyon when the sword struck his hand and he says, "What is it?" It's the word of the Lord, the vindication of your ministry. And I think that the sword of the word is what separates people. It's not the miracles. Anybody loves the miracles. Gordon Lindsay loved the miracles. I can name name after name after name. Love the miracles. They came to Brother Branham's ministry for the miracles. But when the word, the sword, was given to the prophet's hand. Now, Demas, who even Paul has, who forsakes him. And Brother Branham says Demas forsook Paul. The Bible says it this way, having loved the present world. And Brother Branham picks that up and says, what was it? He says Demas got to looking at Paul saying, you know what? He used to have great revivals and great meetings, but he's sort of washed up now. And Brother Branham says he leaves Paul. Now here, Brother Branham has a Demas Shakarian. Who's you go and Google and listen to the Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast? Here's Brother Demas. He's there. He's given his name and he's there on tape and introducing Brother Branham. But there comes a separation there with the Full Gospel Businessman, with those who had left those in the Assemblies of God, even Life Tabernacle there in Shreveport, Louisiana, who had Brother Branham's name, had preached meeting after meeting. You go listen to the sermons there preached in Shreveport. Some of the most powerful meetings that we have on tape was preached right in that church under those fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers sat there in those meetings. Where are they today? His picture stood in their vestibule until about 10 years ago when they took it down and said, we don't want to be identified with that man, William Branham, anymore. What was it? They walked away. And Brother Branham says, all the doors, he comes into Tucson and the doors are closing. They don't have him preach. And they Demas walks away from him. John Osteen's part of that same exact group, walks away from Abraham. I wonder, did you know, Brother John, go to the next slide. Did you know what legacy you would leave behind when you left the word for your day? Did you know that when your product of your standing, where you stood for the word? Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you what a prophet says. You said, oh, well, had I been there in the days of Jesus, I would have not been part of that crowd who crucified him. I would have stood there and defended him. I wouldn't have been one of those calling for his crucifixion. Brother Branham says, oh, that's easy to say. He says, I'll tell you what you would have done is, what do you do for the word for your day? It'll prove to you where you would have been back then. And here was the product A man who can't even, I'm not preaching against that man. He'll have to stand before the judge as every man will. But a man who has sold out the gospel of Jesus Christ won't preach against sin. His daddy did. You think there's any speck of true faith left? Did you ever know, Brother John? Did you ever know that this is the product you would produce? Lakewood Church, full of 25,000 people on a Sunday, welcomes the LGBT community, welcomes the transsexual community, won't speak against sin, is all inclusive. It's not my job, he said on tape, it's not my job to judge the sinner. It's not my job to preach against sin. I just preach your best life now. Your best life. I got news for you. This better not be my best life. I got a book I want to write, My Worst Life. Because this is my worst life, but I'm going to my best life. I'm going to a place where this is all the trouble and the stain of sin will be removed from me permanently. I'm not looking for my best life here, Brother Joel. I'm looking for my best life there. This ain't about getting rich. This ain't about having success. This ain't about having a spot-free, free of trouble life. Right now it's testing and trials. But one day is coming, happy day. I'm going to close. Did you ever know, Brother Demas, when you walked away from God's prophet, did you know when you closed the doors what legacy you would leave behind? When you go and study the life of this man, Demas Shakarian, you'll find that he is the great-great-grandfather of the next slide, the Kardashians. Did you know? Did you know, Brother Demas? I had to cover up and Photoshop some of those because they were too indecent to even show to a church. Did you know? You say, friends, oh, Brother Matt, what are you trying to say? I'm saying when you leave this word, you are leaving Jesus Christ. Yes. And the legacy you will leave behind of those who follow in your footsteps because of compromise, because of pressure, social pressure, pressure to make it palpable. You know, don't hurt anybody's feelings. You know, got to say it a little bit nicer. Got to dress it up. Oh, do I have anyone here that are just saying, you don't need to modernize the truth of God's word, brother. Just preach the word of God. We don't need a watered down version of it. Give me the full word of God. I want to be with Abraham. How many here today? I want to have the legacy that Abraham left. I'll tell you, another man who left a legacy, go to the next slide, was another man who didn't compromise on truth. He didn't compromise for a fleet of Cadillacs. He wasn't looking for a library or some kind of, you know, shrine to his name. He said, I come with one purpose, one desire. That's to see a relationship between God and his people established again. Oh, are you the beneficiary today of a man who stood for the word of God? Amen. A man who left a legacy behind. Go ahead and play that, Brother Jeremy, if you have it. A man who left a legacy behind. Did he know? I wonder, could he look and look at us now, believers? See our churches? See our people sit in our services. I wonder if Brother Branham knew when that voice that prophesies over his life, you know the vision very good, the interpretation with Danny Henry, and he says, because you have chosen, look this way, they're getting it, just look this way for a moment. Because you have chosen the harder way. Because you. Not me. I didn't force you. I didn't pressure you. I didn't try to push you into it. But you chose the harder way. Yeah, go ahead, brother. You have that.
And I heard something say, would you like to see just beyond the curtain? I said, it would help me so much. And I I looked in just a moment, I'd come into a little place of sanity. I looked back and there I was laying on the bed. And I said, this is a strange thing. Now I would not want you to repeat this. This is before my church or my sheep that I am pastoring. Whether it was I was in this body or out, whether it was a translation, it wasn't like any vision I ever had. I could look there and I could look here. And when I hit that little place, I never seen so many people come running, screaming, oh, our precious brother. And I looked in young women, maybe in their early 20s, 18 to 20. They were throwing their arms around me and screaming, our precious brother. Here come young man in the brilliance of young manhood. And their eyes glistening and looking like stars on a darkened night. Their teeth as white as pearl. And they were screaming and grabbing me and screaming, oh, our precious brother. And I stopped and I looked and I was young. I looked back at my old body laying there with my hands behind my head. And I said, I don't understand this. And these young women throwing their arms around me. Now, I do realize this is a mixed audience. And I say this with the sweetness and with the mellowness of the spirit. Man cannot put your arm around women without a human sensation. But it wasn't there. There was no yesterday nor tomorrow. They didn't get tired. I never seen such pretty women in all my life. They had hair way down to their waistline, long skirts to their feet, and they were just a-hugging me. It wasn't a hug like even my own sister sitting there would hug me. They were not kissing me, and I was not kissing them. It was something that I have not got the vocabulary. I haven't got the words to say. Perfection wouldn't touch it. Superb wouldn't even touch it, nowhere. It was something that I never, you just have to be there. And I looked this way and that way, and they were coming by the thousands. And I said, I don't understand this. I said, well, and here come Hope. That was my first wife. She ran and never said my husband. She said my precious brother. And when she hugged me, there was another woman standing there that hugged me, and then Hope hugged this woman. And each one, and I thought, boy, this has to be something different. It can't be. There's something. Oh, would I ever want to go back to that old carcass again? I looked around there and I thought, what is this? And I looked real good and I said, I can't understand this. But Hope seemed to be like a guest of honor. She was no different, but just like a guest of honor. And I heard a voice then that spoke to me that was in the room, said, this is what you preach was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love. And nothing can enter here without it. I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. Sickness could never end there. Mortality could never make you old. And they could not cry. It was just one joy, oh, my precious brother. And they took me up and set me up on a great big high place. And I thought, I am not dreaming. I'm looking back at my body laying down here on the bed. And they set me up there, and I said, oh, I shouldn't sit up here. And here come women and men from both sides, just in their bloom of youth, screaming. And one woman was standing there, and she screamed, oh, my precious brother. Oh, we are so happy to see you here. I said, I don't understand this. And then that voice that was speaking from above me said, you know, it is written in the Bible that the prophets were gathered with their people. And I said, yes, I remember that in the scriptures. I said, but this is when you will gather with your people. I said, then they'll be real. And I can feel them. Oh, yes. I said, but there's millions. There's not that many Branhams. And that boy said, they're not Branhams. Them's your converts. Amen. That's the ones that you've led to the Lord. And said, some of them women there that you think is so beautiful were better than 90 years old when you led them to the Lord. No wonder they're screaming, our precious brother. And they screamed all at once that if you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. I looked around, I thought, well, I don't get it. I said, oh, where is Jesus? I want to see him so bad. They said, now he's just a little higher, right up that way. Said, someday he will come to you. See, said, you were sent for a leader. And God will come, and when he does, he'll judge you according to what you taught them. First, whether they go in or not, we'll go in according to your teaching. I said, oh, I'm so glad. Did Paul, does he have to stand like this? Does Peter have to stand like this? Yes. I said, then I preached every word that they preached. I never did it from one side to the other. Were they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I did too. Were they taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I did too. Whatever they taught, I did too. And then people screamed and said, we know that, and we know we're going with you someday back to earth. Said, Jesus will come, and you'll be judged according to the word that you preached us. And then, if you are accepted at that time, which you will be, and said, then you will present us to him as your trophies of your ministry. Said, you will guide us to him, and all together we'll go back to the earth to live forever. I said, do I have to return back now? Yes, but keep pressing on. I looked and I could see the people just as far as I could see, still coming, wanting to hug me, screaming, our precious brother. Just then a voice said, all that you ever loved, and all that ever loved you, God has given you here. And I looked, and here come my old dog come walking up. Here come my horse and laid his head upon my shoulder and nickered. Said, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you, God has given them into your hand through your ministry. And I felt myself moved from that beautiful place. And I looked around. I said, are you awake, honey? She's still asleep. And I thought, oh, God. Oh, help me, oh, God. Never let me compromise with one word. Let me stay right straight on that word. And yes, it. I don't care what comes or goes, what anybody does, how many Sauls of sons of Kish rise, how many this, that, or the other. Let me, Lord, press to that place. All fear of death. I say this with my Bible before me this morning. I've got a little boy there, 4 years old, to be raised. I got a 9-year-old girl and a teenager that I'm thankful for, that's turned the way of the Lord. Amen. God, let me live to bring them up in the admonition of God. And above that, the whole world seems to scream to me. 90-year-old women and men and all kinds. If you hadn't have went, we wouldn't have been here. God, let me press the battle. But if it comes to dying, I am no more. It would be a joy. It would be a pleasure to enter from this corruption and disgrace. If I could make up yonder 100 billion miles high, a square block, and that's perfect love. Each step this way, it narrows until we get down to where we are now. It would be just merely a shadow of corruption. That little something that we can sense and feel that there's something somewhere, we don't know what it is. My precious friend, my beloved, my darlings of the gospel, my begotten children unto God, listen to me, O pastor.
Amen.
You, I wish there was some way I could explain it to you. There's no words I couldn't find, and it's not found anywhere. But just beyond this last breath is the most glorious thing that you ever had.
How many believers
there
believe that?
There is no way to explain it. There's no way. I just can't do it.
Glory.
But whatever you do, friend, lay aside everything else till you get perfect love. Get to a spot that you can love everybody, every enemy, everything else.
How many want to have that? How many want to get to that spot?
Amen.
Lord, let me get to that spot. I lay aside everything. You know what's so powerful? Those voices said, had you not gone, we wouldn't be here. You know why there could be a Sarah? Because there was an Abraham. Do you know why there was an Isaac? You know why? Listen, friends, this is all about what we leave, the impact. I just want to say this before we sing, before we go, what my true burden is. Because there was an Isaac, there could be a Rebecca. And let me say this, if there wasn't an Eliezer, she could have never got to Isaac in the first place. You see, what you, listen, brothers, men of God, husbands, families, because you will be an Abraham, if you'll be an Abraham, she'll be a Sarah. If you'll be an Isaac, she'll be a Rebecca. There'll be a legacy that you leave, the impact of what we leave. Brother Branham could have went a million other ways, as the voice said, you, because you chose the harder way. You didn't want to flee to Cadillacs. You didn't want a reputation. You don't want some kind of great ministry to your name. But because you chose the harder way, there's a great portion of heaven awaiting you. And Jesus said, and the voice says, and because you chose the harder way, which is my way. How many want to choose that today? Say, Lord,
yes. Let
me. How many want to bow their head? Just bow your heads with me as we just pray to the Lord here for a moment. Raise your hand and say, God, I want the impact, the inheritance I leave behind for those, the impact that will outlive me. Let me sow, Lord God, faith. Oh, how many mothers and fathers will pray that? Let me sow hope. Let me sow true faith in the Word of God, not doubt, not fear. Don't let me sow my complexes. Don't let me sow my bitterness, not my anger, not my resentment, not jealousy. Let me get to a place of such perfect love where I can even love my enemy. Oh, I can hear the words of Brother Branham. Get to the place, lay aside everything, friends, until you can get to that place. For nothing will enter there without it, God's prophet says. Lord Jesus, we close now, Lord. I just want to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that there was an Abraham in my life. Thank you for all this, those men of God who have stood before and held an example and held it true. Oh, we thank you for pastors, Lord. Thank you for even for Brother Barry, Lord, for this at this church standing for the Word of God. As those voices said, if you didn't go, we wouldn't be here. How much more we could say that if it wasn't for true men of God who stood for the Word of God, where would we be here today, Lord? Thank God I had an Isaac. Thank God I had an Eliezer that could lead me to my Isaac. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would take these words that we've spoken today, Lord, and may they inspire. Lord, may they inspire, Jesus, a generation of people who will take you at your word when you said, don't lay up your treasures. Don't seek the things of the world where moths and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay yourself treasures in heaven where thieves can't enter in. An eternal promise, an eternal reward. It's waiting there, Lord, as your prophet told us. It's just behind the next breath, behind after the last breath, just beyond the breath, the last breath of the body, lies an inheritance eternal. As your apostle Paul told us, Lord, it's prepared for us in the heavens, one that never fades away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be. Could we raise our hands and sing that again now? Oh, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Go up, Brother Matthew. I think they know it good. Sing, go up. Oh, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. Sing that again now. Oh, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. Can we sing, let your people, and let your people proclaim, you are holy. Oh, you are holy, God, as we lift up your name and give glory. Oh, glory to. Try that again now. Let your people proclaim. You are holy, you are holy, you are holy, God. Oh, you are holy, God, as we lift up your name and give glory. Oh, glory to. Blessed be, sing that now. Oh, blessed be. Oh, blessed be, blessed be. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. Let's go up again. Let's go up again. I'm teaching a song today. Oh, blessed be, blessed be. Oh, your name.
you're sounding good. Oh, sing that again now.
Oh, blessed be. Oh, blessed be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed
be. Try the bridge. Let your people proclaim.
And let your people proclaim. Oh, you are holy. Oh, you are holy, God. As we lift up your name and give glory. Oh, glory to you.
Sing that again. Let your people.
Let your people proclaim. That you are holy. Oh, you are holy, God. As we lift up your name and give glory, glory to blessed be.
Praise, he's worthy.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Sing whatever you got, Brother Jared. Amen. Amen. Sing whatever you got. You love the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many are glad that that's Lot's legacy is not my legacy? I've got a legacy of Abraham. Amen. I've got an inheritance on the other side, just beyond this last breath. Brother Keith, just beyond this last breath. How many believe that? There's a place so real. Brother Branham says, oh, sublime, couldn't describe it. Nothing in the English language could describe what's just waiting just beyond the riven veil. I don't know about you, friends, but I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of this world. Feels like hell every day that we have to walk through. Oh, but one day, very soon, I believe events are wrapping up so quickly right now. Things are happening. I just want to say, Lord, let me be ready for that final call. Let my life be ready. Whatever I've got to do, Lord, to lay aside anything that's displeasing to you, Lord, I want to be ready. Amen. For that day, we're going to let you be dismissed. You appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. I pray that something today was said that would bless you and encourage you. That's my heart. I just want to say that before we go. Amen. God bless you. Keep pressing on. As Brother Branham says, that voice as he was coming out of that vision said, just keep pressing. Just keep going. Don't stop. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to get tired and get lackadaisical. Now's the time to focus. Amen. Because the prize of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Oh, how many believers believe that today? Your tribulation's about to be over. Joy's coming in the morning. Amen. Let's sing something before we go, Brother Jaron, whatever you got. Amen. Go ahead. Yes, Jesus.
From the ends of the earth I cry, and your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Forever in the your peace will lead me to
our rock,
the rock that is higher than I. And hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry, and your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, tower above my enemies. Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wing. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide forever in the shelter of your wing.
Lord, I give you my heart. Let's sing that together. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your this is my desire, to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, oh, I give you praise, and all that I adore is in you.
Oh, I give you,
and Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul.
Oh, you want to give it to him now. Oh, I live,
and I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, oh Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, have your way in me.
Oh, this is my desire. Sing that now. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is my desire.
All I have within me, I give. live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Yes, Lord, I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Would you put your hand together for the Lord? My, but he's wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, amen. What a powerful message, amen. I pray that your roots are anchored in that solid rock Brother Matt was preaching about today, amen. What a beautiful thought. Thank you so much, Brother Matt. Just a wonderful time we've had in the Lord today, and I can just feel the Holy Spirit so powerful in this place, amen. I pray your heart has been touched, amen. Let's sing a song as you go. I stand in awe of you. Amen. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praises due, I stand. Beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard, and who fathom the depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Church, sing it again now. And I-